CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. It's a new day. It's a new Friday. We are live. We are ready to tackle the weekend. Are you ready? You can confide in me. It's fine. I won't tell anyone. I promise. I think some people are so ready for an actual weekend, like where they do weekend things, that they'd be willing to... They'd run out there stark naked and stand in front of the coronavirus and say, just come and get me, just get me so that I'll finally be able to give my life back again.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, it's going to happen.
What are weekend things anymore? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Who remembers those days, huh? Well, it's a hell of a start to the show this morning. We've got plenty to talk about, as always, but we've got a special guest today. Joining us, back by popular demand, I'm pleased to say, none other than Mr. Hang on, let me give him a proper introduction. How about that? I know we got to do this.
That's
right.
Very fancy.
Here he is, Mr. Michael Flax. Hey, Flax.
Morning.
How the hell are you, dude?
Jeez, I was just sitting here. I'm shocked that the sun's not out. I did not know the sun is not out at 6 o'clock. The stars are full blast.
You've forgotten, huh?
Jeez.
Yeah, it's not.
That's
nice.
That's a lovely time of day.
What time? Yeah, sure. Try and do it every day.
Yeah.
Tell me, do you wake up early at all anymore? I mean, like, what's the earliest you get up now?
So lately I've been getting up like just before work. So round about like 10 to 9.
Okay.
But I said like yesterday, I need to start being more productive and just getting up early in the day and gymming in the morning and then gymming like later in the afternoon.
So when you say gymming, I mean, what have you got? Have you actually got weights and things around?
So I'm still living in the house share, and we literally pulled all our resources together, and we have one of the maddest home gyms going. We have a bench and like dumbbells
sounds amazing.
Bars. Yeah, it's very, very nice. And then I bought a mountain bike as well. So because the gyms are closed, I'm just taking that money that I would be paying on a monthly basis to the gym. Yeah. And I'm purchasing my own equipment because I don't see myself ever going back to gym.
No, I don't either. I actually bought a pair of weights. I spoke about this on, I think, last week, one of the days. I bought a pair of these beautiful weights that are milled out of steel. I mean, it's a friend of mine who started the business.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like it was really a good idea to support him because it's a great company. I mean, it's just, he put it together out of nothing. His name is David, so he's called it David and Goliath, and they make these weights. And... Mm-hmm. They are absolutely magnificent, and he even went and like engraved my name on them, which is ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Like, who's ever going to see my weights except me, you know?
But, so you can never use it as a killing tool.
Oh, no, because they'll leave a mark. But they are absolutely beautiful, and now I'm looking forward to doing some exercise again. Because if you don't have the right stuff, as much as I don't want to go back to gym either, I've pretty much made that decision too. You don't want to do it with the wrong stuff, you know?
Mm.
If you have limited stuff, you just get bored so quickly. That's the problem.
It's crazy how, like, what we wanted shifted. At the start of lockdown, what we wanted was toilet paper, and that sold out.
Right.
And, like, now everyone's trying to buy weight equipment, and you literally cannot get weights at any of the stores anymore. You can only get online, and the prices have spiked.
Yeah, I know. These were not cheap, but they were good.
So you both have ruled out going back to gym.
I don't see any reason
for the foreseeable future.
I mean, what do you think, Flax? Because I don't see any reason to go back.
I'm not seeing the value in going back. So you're going to go back. You've got to book a time slot. You're then going to wait outside the gym to get screened, maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah, then please.
And then it's not like you're moving weights and the experience is done, because you used to go to your gym with your mates. You'd jump between sets and different machines. And now it's like, one machine's for one person, and then it's got to get sanitized afterwards. So there's no steam room. There's no sauna. The entire experience for me is out.
Right. I'm for exactly the reasons that Flax has just listed, I'm totally out of that. I'm not going through some huge rigmarole just to get training done, which is not something that you necessarily, even if you are the kind of person who enjoys physical exercise, and I do, you don't want to go through all that shit.
And the anxiety of people now breathing heavily in a small space.
Oh, God, yeah, please.
My friend has gone back to gym now with that appointment situation, and she's even gotten a personal trainer just so that she works in a secluded and different environment as opposed to the open plan of a gym. And she says that actually it's working out a little better for her for the accountability aspect.
Oh, really?
For the fact that she has to be there at a specific time and then there's someone waiting on her. Mm-hmm. She says, you know, just going into gym as it was like, well, okay, if I really push, no one will really notice. But this time there's so much accountability that it's working out for her better. That's a different perspective.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes I suppose there are people who will find this kind of thing. I mean, I know for a fact that some people love that it's much more quiet in certain places. Like I told you, I made the horrible, hideous mistake of going to a shopping mall last week. First of all, that's the most depressing thing you can do right now because it's just empty. The only people in there, they were maybe in this huge shopping mall, huge, huge, huge. There were probably, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, 50 shoppers in the whole mall that if I'd counted them, maybe 50. And then the rest were just the staff in the shops, and they all looked so bored and hungry. You know how people look like they're just desperately need, like they've been told, if you don't do a sale today, we're closing down. That kind of look. And it was such a horrible experience. But I suppose for some people, especially if you are one of those lucky people who has tons of money, and there are some of those, you know, there are a handful of people in this country who still have tons of cash. To go shopping like this is such a pleasure.
They're an extinct species.
There are some. And you imagine walking in, like I went in, and by the way, all the shops are having sales, all of them. Sales 50,
ooh, so great.
50, 70%. But the problem is, you can't even afford that stuff if you've been laid off from your job or you've got half your salary or you know what people are going through.
Mm.
So it's shit. And I just wish I hadn't gone to the shopping mall. But the fact is, there are probably people who like it because it's quieter. I always used to complain that the roads were too busy, the shopping malls were too busy. It was always people, people, people. I've got my wish, but I wish I could go back and change it.
You know? I used to be very, very against like online shopping and the fact like you buy clothes and you're not sure of the sizing. But now I'm literally getting clothes delivered in like 2 days or product delivered in 2 days. Yeah. And to me, that's quite efficient and effective.
Well, Sia was saying he's so excited today because he's getting a delivery. What is it, Sia? Is it something that you bought this week?
Yes. So I bought this new, it's a TV stand. You know, I'm still in the process of redoing my lounge in my house. So it's this black sleek TV stand. And I'm such a loser because, you know, this is what excites me under lockdown. I've bought bits and bobs and like different vases and picture frames. I'm like, okay, well, that's the highlight of my day today. And I've now boiled it down to 3 or 4 delivery men from this particular company. This is how often I now order things online, and this is how regularly, this is the only like social interaction I now get. So I'm like, oh, I wonder who it's going to be now.
I realize
what's going on with their lives.
I realized that the other day that it's the same delivery person for the area.
Yep.
But now the one guy came to the house and he asked me my name, and I thought I had to give the name of my roommate. So he hands the package over to me. And I can't go back now. Every time he sees me at the gates, he's calling me my roommate's name. And I'm like, oh, God, I can't fix this.
This is so sad. We used to talk to 20 people in a club in one night. Now we talk to 20 people in a month.
Yeah.
Very true.
And you know what? You suddenly realize also, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but being connected on your phone, if you just go quiet for a day, which I kind of did yesterday and the day before because I wasn't feeling well, I didn't miss any of it, hey? I didn't.
Really?
Yeah. There were people who were messaging me, and they were the people I expected to message me. But I don't know. I mean, like, people have got their own lives going on. When you don't see them every day, whether it's at work or, you know, if you're going out for drinks like we used to or doing anything like that, people just carry on with their own lives, and they do drift away. It's a sad realization. It's like, you know, your number of friends contracts, especially after something like this. I mean, Flax, they're probably people you haven't spoken to since the start of lockdown, and you don't miss them really. I know you. I know you have people like that, Sia.
I've realized who's like in my tight immediate circle, and those are the people now that I'm going to be focusing on. Do you know like that 80-20 principle?
Yeah.
Whereby like you focus on like you can focus on the 20% that brings you the 80% profit or the 80% productivity. And those that's what I've done. I've like segmented my core friend group, the people that like I'd like to go through a pandemic with and I care about. And those are the people that I actively reach out to see, or like I'll hangout calls with them, etc. Yeah. But I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think that's been a positive. If we're going to look for positives, that's one of them. It's like your zombie apocalypse team, you know? No, seriously. Anyway, there's lots of other stuff we've got to talk about. So let's get straight into it. There are also some headlines we'll get to at 5:30. I'll give you a quick rundown of what's happening a bit later on in the show. We got loads of stuff to talk about. So Michael Flax is with us. If you haven't gathered that yet, we've got lots of emails I've got to get to. Putin Puti is working alongside the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. We've been speaking to these guys a lot because, you know, even though I'm not a smoker, I care about this. I was actually looking at an article that someone sent me this morning. You are not going to believe this is from Business Tech. Okay, listen to this. South Africa's cigarette ban backfire. Tax and customs legal expert Talita Snickers says that South Africa's tobacco sales ban has done nothing to stop the trade of cigarettes in South Africa and has likely led to huge profits for all producers, which are all non-taxable. So speaking in a webinar with the Daily Maverick, she's a former SARS tax executive and customs expert. She's working internationally. She said no matter the size of the tobacco producer in South Africa, the ban on the sale of tobacco products has pushed all their brands into the illicit market, which is an incredibly profitable space. According to her, one of the main reasons cigarette sales have survived through the vast number of prohibitions and bans throughout time is because they're incredibly profitable and relatively easy to trade with. She said syndicates can see a tenfold return on the money they pump into illicit trade. And even if 90% of their stock is seized by the authorities, the remaining 10% would still be enough for them to turn a profit. So if you pump 100% of your stuff into the market and the cops come and they take away 90%, you can still make profits out of just the 10% that does go into the market. Isn't that amazing?
Imagine. Jeez.
This isn't the only case from criminal syndicates. She said big tobacco companies also have a stake in the game, with all types of brands from premium to no name ending up in the illicit market at some point. She said that while the public face of tobacco companies is that of legitimate business and working within the confines of lockdown, the reality is that whether they admit it or not, their brands are being sold illegally. Well, I know, for example, there's someone who lives in Cape Town, who I know, who's been talking to shop owners who've had to put away their cigarette stocks. You know, they've had to lock them away, not allowed to sell them. But through the back door, they've pretty much sold all of them, over all the ones that they had in stock. And they've made a very tidy sum of money out of that too. Now, do you think any of that's going to go to SARS? No.
Nah, non-declared.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is just unbelievable. Apparently, the process includes the checking of containers at the ports of exit by customs officials. Furthermore, we're obliged to send production and forecast reports on a weekly basis to SARS. This is now one of the big tobacco companies talking. In May, manufacturers suddenly began exporting astronomical volumes. Indeed, that month saw the biggest volume of cigarette exports since November 2017. Now, amazingly, all of this is going on. 11 million smokers in the country. 93% of them still finding a source to feed their habit. 93%, only 7% are in any kind of trouble. Isn't that amazing?
I'm not surprised by that. Are you?
No, and I think, good, punish the government for their stupid decisions.
I think these big companies are still going to suffer when they reopen the tobacco industry, because take, for instance, let's say someone that smoked Marlboro.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing on the market, Marlboro, you can get, but it's very, very expensive. But the standard on the market now is these RGs. and you get like the plain and the RG menthol. Now, even if like a third of people, when the tobacco industry opens up, decide, oh, I'm just going to stick to RGs. They're like 10 rand a box as compared to like 40 for Marlboro. They're still going to take a massive loss for people switching brands now.
Of course. And a lot of people also have developed a relationship with these dealers. And once the prices come down, once the ban is over, they may just keep those relationships with these dealers and say, hey, you know what? How much are your cartons now? How much is a master carton, which is like, you know, the volume of cigarettes, one bigger than a carton? And the guy will say, well, you know what? Since the ban's over, I'll give them to you at half. People are going to be like, okay, well, I got used to that taste. I'll have these.
Exactly.
I'm telling you it's going to happen. So then all you've done is you've opened up a pathway that is going to keep on being walked. It's just amazing. So dumb. Have you run out of liquor? Have you guys in your house, do you guys drink? I mean, have you got things that you all do every weekend? Is there stuff going on?
So we were lucky that as soon as the lockdown ended, we ordered in bulk, like on like Take a Lot and that, and they delivered. And the day before they announced the lockdown, we sort of had a hunch that it was going to be an extended one for booze. Mm-hmm. So we quickly bought more cases of beer. So we got quite a lot. I think we calculated like 22 wines and about like 9 cases of beer.
That's amazing. Good for you. So you're not going to run out?
No.
I don't think there's any plan to get out of level 3. Like, we've been in level 3 for 2 months now.
Don't we leave on the 17th of August when we're no longer in a state of disaster?
Yeah, but then they'll just extend it again. Knowing this government, they don't know what else to do. They're like, oh, shit, press that button again. We pressed it twice and it seems to have done something. Who knows?
Sad reality.
I sometimes think like where we would be right now and what I would be doing right now if there wasn't lockdown. And I can't remember life before lockdown, so I have no clue.
Tell me about your haircut experience.
Oh, so I decided to get a haircut in lockdown. And obviously, like, most of the places were closed or hadn't figured out sanitization issues, etc. Mm-hmm. So I found a dude who, first of all, lied where he lived. He told me he lived, like, in a safe area. I ended up in Yeovil.
Oh, Jesus.
It was rough.
Dude, I would have driven there, seen where he wanted me to go, and just turned around and said, you know what, no.
At this stage, I was already knees deep in it. So I'm like, I asked him if I can park in his garage, and he moved his car out, and I parked in his garage. And then I get out my car, and there's now like 700 dogs around me, but like obviously rescue dogs. On my way into the salon, which is like in his little shed at the back, I've now stood in dog shit. But the salon is so dirty that I actually don't know where the dog shit smell is coming from. So for the entire haircut, I had no clue I'd sat in dog shit.
Describe how this barber guy even looks.
Yeah.
Oh, like scruffy. Looked like he just came out of bed, clothes are all too big, etc. But lovely dude. And then eventually it's time. I convinced a friend to go with me. So now we like ching chong cha just to get who's going first. And then I obviously lose, so I've got to get my hair cut first. And now all these dogs are in the salon. So I'm getting my hair washed while these dogs are rotating, jumping on my lap. And this other dog shagging my leg. And my friend is just laughing his head off.
And the hairdresser, in inverted commas, because we don't even know if he's a real one. This guy is what, just carrying on like this is normal?
This is his natural environment. This is not the first time a dog is shagging a customer's leg.
Did you think that the smell of shit on your shoe from the dog, did you think it was the hairdresser at any point?
I thought it was the actual salon. I thought a dog just shat somewhere. There was literally about nine to ten dogs just at my feet sleeping. The one was so old, I thought it was dead. It didn't move for like a good 20 minutes.
Did this guy come highly recommended?
He was like, do you know how everyone has their like cigarette dealers? This was everyone's haircut dealer.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is, he only cuts like 80-year-old females. So he doesn't know, like, really how to cut male hair.
So were you shitting yourself that you were going to end up with, like, a huge gap chopped out of your hair, and you'd walk out of there looking like you'd been through a meat grinder. Or, I mean, how did it feel being, did it at any stage, because you can sometimes tell if they're cutting your hair, oh Jesus, this is going wrong, right? You know, when they're going too short, or they, you thought maybe you were going to come out looking like a neo-Nazi or something.
So I knew he wasn't going to like extremely mess it up where like I've got these like chunks in your hair and stuff. But I knew I wasn't going to get what I wanted. And my friend and I did research, and like we both had photos of what we wanted. And his was more of a long hairstyle, and mine was more of like a medium. We both walked out with short.
Oh, Jesus, you lucky
bastard. Seems like he has a standard haircut. But like straight after my haircut, I'm now scraping poo off my shoe outside. While my mate's having his haircut.
Yeah, because you don't want to get it into the car, because then you're going to smell like that the whole way home.
Yeah, it was shocking experience.
What a nightmare. Okay, so I mean, listen, I know it's not perfect out there for a lot of hairdressers, and they're all trying because God knows they've also had a shit time, right? I mean, they've only been able to ply their trade for like a month and a little bit. I wonder, since yesterday it was announced that the curfew is moving to 10, whether that helps anybody, especially people in the hospitality business, you know, people who have restaurants and so on. And also, I'd love to hear from someone who's in the hotel business, because that's got to be a clusterfuck still. There's no one coming here. They say that the first time, I mean, the same minister of no tourism, what's her name? Mamoloko Kubai, or so, I can't remember her name, anyway. I've met her before, but don't ask me to tell you her name. When we went to Parliament, remember that story? Went to present to Parliament. She was the minister we were presenting to.
Kenzani Kubai Ngubani.
There we go. That's the one, I think. Forgive me if I don't know all the different cadres that get deployed to various ministries.
You're better than me. I really thought Derek Hanekom was still it.
No. So she says maybe, this is an article I saw last week, maybe we'll be open for tourism in January next year. January next year. Does she really think any hotels will be left by January next year? What does she think? They're secretly printing money in their basements.
I think with these new amendments, some hotels or guest houses are open for leisure tourists.
No.
So that just means them cheating marketers back in business again.
So some of like the big hotels, they should maybe, and this is just an idea, could be a dumb idea, but do you know how like everyone's adapting? Like you had that bottles delivery service that was delivering alcohol. They quickly adapted and delivered groceries.
Right.
Now imagine if, and even if it's at a slightly premium price, all these hotel rooms changed into like gym pods. So you could literally book a gym pod at a certain time for like 2 hours, and you'd go there, all your gym equipment would be there. Maybe you split the price with a mate.
You know what, Flax, is not a dumb idea, and there's no dumb idea right now. Anything you can do to scrape, anybody who can hustle something together for a bit of money is smart. I also think they should allow people to do hookups or something there. Like you know, because you're
no, on, really?
Yeah, seriously, like on Tinder or something. People should be allowed to kind of meet up. Maybe, you know, you meet in the lobby, and if it's going well, then you get a room. But if it's not going well, then you just have a coffee and piss off. Because we're going to have to change our behavior in every way right now, aren't we?
I think it's that, and also the fact that some people would just like to get away from their family or kids.
Oh,
so
God.
They'll enjoy just booking into a hotel.
Like Ben said the other day, we don't want to spend every morning talking about lockdown. It's kind of what everyone's talking about, but it doesn't mean that it's interesting. So we'll get into some other stuff in a little while. Flax says if you get a puppy, it's a chick magnet. We'll find out how that's working out. Plus, he's got a new job. We're going to find out all about that. Sia's got a couple of things on his mind too. But first things first, it is time for the headlines. 6:30. Whose hardy dog is that?
That was my hardy dog.
Okay. Have you given it a name yet?
No, they just shit everywhere, these hardy dogs. And did you know hardy dog poo is very bad for dogs?
Oh, no. As if they couldn't get worse.
That and avocado can make them very sick.
Now, what I don't understand, hardy dogs are a protected species. Why? It seems to me there are millions of them. And
yeah.
We don't need more. We should be allowed to shoot them for meat. I don't know what kind of meat they make, but we should be able to shoot them. Don't you think?
Oh, they would not be tasty. Ooh.
I can't imagine they would be very tasty, considering the way they look and the way... There's probably this horrible, wrinkly body under all those feathers.
Mm.
Gray, wrinkly, you know?
I imagine it to be like eating a fish that you've caught straight out of the bowl.
Gross. All right, well, let's scrap that idea then. All right, here are the headlines. The new curfew may not help, says group representing hospitality and the tourism industry. This is from EWN. They say that that's the Serve Us Please movement. Remember, they protested near Parliament last week. They say, and Ashley Paramore, who's the one we spoke to on my TV show this week, she said the curfew extension would help a few businesses. It's a bit of a tricky one, she said. For some of us, it won't work. If they moved it to 12, that would have been great. Also, without liquor, a lot of these nighttime restaurants and venues still won't be able to open up. It does and doesn't help. Well, you know, you can't expect restaurants to change everything. They don't make a profit off food. They make a profit off selling liquor. So when you go for a dinner, usually your meal, even if it's an expensive meal, it doesn't cover the costs of the meal. Usually they make that money off of your drinks, which is why they love it when a table sits down and orders drinks. Have you noticed that? You go there and you order water, they're like, oh, no.
Mm. So, no profit.
Correct. So if they can't sell alcohol and they can't stay open until midnight, then they can't have a business. Then they're basically running a non-profit organization. And who wants to do that? Especially when you have to pay people. Anyway, the Minister of Tourism, Mamoloko, you see, I did get that right, Kubayingubane, announced that the COVID-19 lockdown curfew has been pushed back from 9 to 10 p.m. So you can drive around until 10 p.m. The decision will allow restaurants to make use of their busiest time. Leisure travel within your own province is now also allowed, but you can't cross provincial lines. But I know so many people who have. I can tell you of 10 people who I know have crossed provincial lines, and they don't give a shit, really. You lie. You have a permit. You know, you say, here's my permit. And usually the people at these border crossings are not particularly bright. So you just say to them, yeah, I'm going for business. And oh, okay. And they'll let you through. You're dealing with those kinds of officials, in inverted commas. So do what you want, basically. I don't know why anyone's stressed about this. Edward Kiswetter has said that political interference has hollowed out the capacity at SOEs. Oh, you don't say. This is the boss at SARS, right? Edward Kiswetter. The commissioner was a participant in a webinar on the contribution of state-owned enterprises in achieving the 2030 vision of the NDP. The webinar was hosted by Government Technical Advisory Center and is based on a position paper that was released by the National Planning Commission. If those are a lot of words that mean nothing to you, don't worry. They mean nothing to me either. Just listen to that sentence. It was put together. Listen to this again, okay? Because this is just the kind of bullshit that government thrive on. Listen to this. This is what you're paying for, people of South Africa. The National Development Plan, okay? Webinar hosted by the Government Technical Advisory Center. That means those are two things that employ people, that have staff, those two things I've just mentioned. And is based on a position paper released by the National Planning Commission. So we get the NPC, the NDP, and the Government Technical Advisory Center. What a fucking joke. Oh,
some
my God.
Good times.
Anyway, they published it for public comment. And the point of the story is that Edward Kiswetter described the research as thorough and sufficient to deal with issues at SOEs. Going forward, we need to be pragmatic, he said, and not overcomplicate things, like having those three organizations I just mentioned. For example, Edward, just in case you weren't 100% sure what I meant. Referring to his prior experience as a member of the Eskom leadership team, which turned around the ailing utility into one that was globally admired back in the 90s. He said, we actually know how to do this. We must just not overcomplicate it. Similarly, National Carrier SAA and State Rail and Freight Company Transnet used to operate efficiently. Yes, when everyone's hands weren't in the till. Anyway, so there we go. He's trying to add a little bit of credibility to a government that is pretty much like a wife who goes out with a credit card and has no idea that the husband's lost his job and she just keeps spending all the money. You know that kind of story. That's what it is. Mm. Parliament has unanimously supported a call by the president for a retrospective 0% salary increase for the Electoral Commission of South Africa. This follows Parliament's... I should hope so, don't you? Nobody else is getting any increase, so why should they?
I feel like either way, they're going to be rich. They probably get paid way more than they should be.
Yeah, they've probably got something going on. Anyway, Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs agreed to Ramaphosa's determination earlier this month. Committee chairperson Bongani Bongo. You remember him? Bongani Bongo? He was the guy. He used to be Minister of Intelligence, wasn't he? And he's a crook. He's a crook. He worked under the Zuma administration as Minister of Intelligence, and he was a crook. He was caught out lying. Now he's the chair of the... Jesus Christ. He's the chair of this committee.
Gareth, it's a story of hope.
Oh, I'm trying to be hopeful, I promise.
You'll never be down and out in South Africa.
You know, I jump out of bed and I'm happy to be alive. You know me, I'm a very positive guy, but my God, this government make it hard for us. Okay, let's move on to some international stuff. Hackers have posted fake stories on real news sites to discredit NATO. Well, that's according to Lithuania, Latvia, and Poland's governments. They say the false stories are aligned with Russian security interests. Basically, what's happening, I'll give you the headline here, is that Russia is spreading disinformation about NATO. Surprise, surprise. You really think Vladimir Putin is trying his best to tell the truth? So you see, this is the kind of person that our government look up to. Anyway,
it's his world, and we all just live in it.
Yeah, and they say he's the richest man ever. You know that?
Mm.
Yeah, worth like $1 trillion or something. They say he's richer than Jeff Bezos.
And he kills anyone who talks about his kids.
Exactly. There's also a Mars-bound spaceship that has been experiencing some technical issues, according to NASA. Data indicate the spacecraft had entered a state known as safe mode. Likely because of part of a spacecraft that was a little colder than expected. It left Earth's shadow, and the temperatures are now normal. When a vessel enters safe mode, it shuts down all but essential systems until it receives new commands from mission control. So you remember this Mars rover Perseverance in Mars 2020, which is the spaceship that is carrying it, is experiencing technical difficulties. It's running on essential systems only. But it's not a failure. It's not drifting out into space with no purpose. They said it goes into this mode when something isn't 100%. So they said
this definitely wasn't built by Elon Musk then.
Well, it turns out that this one was launched from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, which is also where its mission control is. And Matt Wallace, the mission's deputy project manager, said the fact that the spaceship had entered safe mode was not overly concerning. He says it's fine. Oh. The spacecraft is happy there. It's a happy spacecraft, according to him.
Well, they also don't want to say, well, shit is scary, yeah, and we're just waiting for the day when it drops back onto Earth.
Do you know how much these things cost? Like, if this thing just drifts into space and turns out not to work properly, I'll tell you something. That's hundreds of millions of dollars that has just been flushed down the toilet. So it better be happy. That's all I'm saying.
And like, it turns into space debris then. And like, that is a major issue when more things go up in space. Let's say space is now like a congested highway and you have things out of control flying around at thousands of kilometers an hour. Like, someone needs to fix that.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, this is all I think about when people talk about space and exploring what is out there. I have no fascination at all with being up there.
Not a little bit?
Not even 1%. Have you ever... Did you watch that movie with Sandra Bullock, Gravity?
Yes.
Mm.
That just put the nail in my coffin.
That was a scary movie. Jesus.
And I think it was very realistic that... Like, I just remember the sensation of feeling like you are squeezed tight into just talking about it makes my chest feel tight again. Because she was, I couldn't. Nope.
It's because it's so lonely, Sia. You would hate to be that lonely.
No, and it's the tight space, and it's the unknown. I know for some people, it's a thrill of being able to have your name etched down in history for discovering something out there.
Yeah.
But no, I'd rather be clapping for people coming back down safely than being...
Would you not put your hand up to go to Mars? Let's say Elon Musk had the plan sorted. You can now go live on Mars.
Mm-mm. No, no, no.
It's going to be a long time before that happens, I'm telling you.
I'm assuming you want to.
I have faith in Elon.
No, I wouldn't want to go to... I wouldn't want to go to Mars. I'm very happy here on Earth. Let's just stop screwing this Earth up.
Right.
And, you know, it's like government having the NHI. Let's just, for a moment, get what we've got already working. Let's look after what we've already got. This is like someone who lives in a mansion, but they light a fire in the middle of the biggest room and then complain that the ceiling's gone black. You know, you're living in a mansion. And they go, oh, we got to sell this house. You're like, no, you live in a beautiful house. You've just ruined it. You are the problem, not the house. So what we need to do is we need to tidy up our house and do a little maintenance and stop ruining everything around us. And then we can worry about Mars. But if we go there now, all we're going to do is ruin Mars as well.
Yeah, it would only be a matter of time.
So you got a puppy, Flax.
Oh, he is the cutest. So it's actually my roommate's dog.
What kind of, dog is it?
Golden Retriever.
Oh, man.
His name's Vice, like the beer.
So cute.
He's like beyond cute. Like I'll go to the park and he's a very like playful dog, but like well-mannered, obedient. He's only like 4 months old and he can sit, lie down, etc. So like we'll go to the park and all these women like flock to him and yeah. You think like, oh, he's like a chick magnet. But the problem is he's too cute. So you're invisible. I'm not there.
So there's a fight. There's a line of cuteness. This
yeah,
is what
he's
I'm noting.
Way over it. Like he's adorable. And we're looking up last night because we were like trying to see if he's developing all right and if he's growing all right. And apparently, in their like fourth/fifth month,
yeah.
They start developing in a weird way. Like his legs will be longer than his body and his nose like out of proportion. And they go through this weird phase. Pretty excited to see him go through that.
You must just be careful because you guys are getting this information out of Google, probably.
It must be accurate to some degree.
I don't know.
It must be. Dog MD.
I mean,
you're becoming a vet under lockdown.
Assume it's normal. And if it isn't, then go to a vet. Don't go and Google things.
Yeah, no, 100%. We're very good with looking after dogs here. We've had like a couple incidences where we've had to take the dogs to the vet. And the people that I live with absolutely love dogs. And I've like learned to love dogs through them and like not only love, but understand dogs. But like it's incredible, the big hearts that the people I have living with me here. Like our one dog, Mascara, who's a wolf dog.
Mascara.
There's Vice and Mascara.
Yeah, Mascara.
These names.
Mascara was bought by the landlord's daughter in one of her makeup classes. So ended up calling her Mascara.
That's great. I love that name.
And she just came back from the vet. She had like a bad couple few days and now like they've just discovered cancer and it's like terrible.
Oh, no.
But like the house is really looking after her well. Like we feed her 4 times a day and we like shift around our schedule so that everyone has an R on her at one time. And it's so beautiful just to see. Yeah, but like once you're with a dog for so long, it's not just a dog. They have this personality, this aura, and like you feel them when they're not here.
Yet you also use them to get the chicks at the park.
Oh, for sure.
Well, Vasi's just natural with that. Like, it's ridiculous how cute this dog is.
You know, it's amazing. Like, that is absolutely a winner. A kitten is also good. And a baby, funnily enough. Like, if you're a single guy running around with a baby, somehow that really attracts even women who don't like children or don't have children because they look at you and they go, well, he's a responsible person. I think that's the attraction. It's not that it's a cute puppy. It's that they, oh, well, this guy can look after a dog, so then he's not a complete loser.
He's nurturing, he's selfless, he's responsible, he has his shit together.
Right. They don't think you're a total, you know, delinquent. Oh, he's going to drop things on their heads and he's not going to be able to water the plants at home. And of course, it's completely misleading because you first of all don't know whether that is someone's dog, like in Flax's case. They'll see Flax or the dog and go, oh, wow, what a sweet little dog. What a nice guy. He seems like he's so responsible. Meanwhile, it's not his dog and he's probably not responsible.
But yeah, it works.
But it snags them, yeah. But like you haven't had any relationships for a little while, have you?
No, I'm like the older you get and like the closer to like 30 you get, relationships and dating start meaning different things, and you start looking for different things. Like previously, it was all about like maybe a hookup nature and etc. Now you actually like you're asking questions to raise sort of red flags and see if this can be something that's like long term.
Yeah,
and like as I get older, I start seeing red flags more clearly. And you got to pull the trigger straight away and just like get out of it as soon as you see like a few red flags, because you can't be wasting your time when you're like 27 years old and like looking to settle down and start a family in the next few years.
Much time.
I don't know. I'd like to have maybe like kids by like 30.
I want to be. How long do you have?
I have 2 years. I want to be one of those young dads. I don't want to be like an old dad with like a younger wife.
Hold on a second. So despite the attitude you've just told us you have towards relationships, you in the next 2 years are going to meet Mrs. Wright. And the two of you are going to have you're probably going to marry her and then have children. I mean, that would be the right way to do things. And that's all going to happen in the next 2 years. It's a lot of pressure, Flax. What happens if that doesn't take place?
I'll probably just like, I don't know. I guess I'll grow old and just
alone.
I'll definitely have kids.
You'll have children with various women and be like one of those dads who just has kids.
He's not going around just leaving his seeds everywhere.
Oh my God.
I'm not here to discourage you, Michael, but you know, like 40 today is not what 40 was even 15 years ago.
What age are people having kids nowadays?
Well, the truth is they are having them at a much older age than they did. If you take the generation before mine, my parents' generation were all having their kids in their early 20s, right? Now you're finding it's late 20s, early 30s. And some people even in their late 30s. But of course, you know, for women, there's a biological clock. And this is where nature's just really unfair. I mean, there are women who've had children in their 50s and so on. And those kids are fine. But there is a huge chance that if you have kids beyond a certain age, it becomes very complicated. And also the men, our fertility rates drop beyond like 50. But it's still, I mean, guys can have kids at any age. So it's really not, it's not your problem, Flax. Like you could decide to get married in your 50s to a 25-year-old. You just got to be comfortable with like having a much younger wife and having people say, oh, I wonder why that beautiful woman is with that old man. If you can deal with that, then everything's cool. And of course, there are also, let's be fair, there are lots and lots of people who get married and don't want kids. You know, there are plenty of those. Whether it's right or wrong is none of my business. I'm a big believer in marriage. I think marriage is important. I love when friends of mine say that they are expecting kids. I think it's great. Sorry.
Bless you.
But in any case, Michael, you don't strike me as someone who will hit 45 and start letting themselves go. You'll still be active and you'll still be moving around.
At that home gym.
Yeah, I'm like, I've decided that this is my theory. And it might be right, it might be wrong. But do you know how like in life people will go about their normal life, maybe pay like 60% to themselves and like do things they like and focus on themselves 60% of the time. Yeah. And then the remaining 40 will just be spent like chasing women and like doing things like changing themselves for other people. I'm under the impression now, focus 100% on yourself and you will attract the things that you want.
Well, so like it's interesting you say that because I saw the most beautiful quote. I think it was yesterday and I don't want to screw this up. It goes something like this. You keep changing relationships because you don't want to change yourself. How do you like that, huh? That's pretty
hard. That sounds like a nice Oprahism, I have to say.
Yeah, and I think that's true for a lot of people, guys and girls. They keep jumping from relationship to relationship because they don't want to actually do the work on themselves that they need to do.
And you should never ever change for someone else, because the minute you have to change for someone else, there's a problem in the relationship to start off with.
I think the word change is scary to people, but if you say improve, it doesn't sound so bad, because you can always improve. There's always room for improvement, right? You could always learn more. You could always understand better. You could always try harder. Those things I don't think people have a problem with. But if you say change, it means that someone's going to take you and fundamentally rearrange the kind of person you are. And I don't think that's possible. I don't think any relationship in the world should or could do that to someone. And if you feel you're in a relationship, here I am with amateur psychology, you know, if you're in a relationship and you feel that the person you're with is changing you, that's not a healthy situation to be in. I don't think, I mean, from my understanding, that probably means something's very wrong.
And I find people are finding it harder to get out of relationships. It's so easy, like, to get in a relationship and be steady.
That's because of lockdown. You're stuck with that person.
Good, like, breaking point.
A breakup isn't as easy. Like, there's emotions. Some people try to avoid conflict at times, so they just go on with this relationship that isn't working for them. But it's easier to stay in it than to deal with the confrontation and the feelings to get out of it.
You've just hit the nail on the head, and you said something there that is so important. I believe it is the biggest weakness that people my age and younger have in all the weaknesses that are available to us. We may be selfish. We may be consumer culture driven. We may be instant gratification driven. All of those things are weaknesses of people my age and younger. But the biggest weakness to me is this inability to deal with conflict. You know, in every previous generation of human beings that have ever lived, especially when men have conflict, they'd fight it out, or one of them would shoot the other one, or they'd have a serious argument, or there'd be violence, who knows, but then they'd get on with their lives afterwards. Nowadays, because of social media and everything, it's all become so difficult to navigate that people avoid conflict at every level, right? And I think it's a real weakness, because I think we've become unable to deal with adversity in respect to human relationships. And I think that's a major, major minus. It's something that's occurred to me over the last couple of weeks, because I've noticed with some friends of mine who, when they're unhappy or they don't like the way something's gone and they have a legitimate gripe, like, let's say, you know, Sia, you brought up on Tuesday that someone owes you money. Now, instead of dealing with it, you just avoid the conflict completely. Now, you want to do, like Pinky said yesterday about her relationship where she's lent someone money. She's thinking of getting all lawyery on them and dealing with it from a lawyer point of view, you know, which is at least dealing with it. But if you're just going to let them go, and I know that in your case, this person's avoiding you. But I think it requires you picking up the phone and saying, hey, listen, you son of a bitch. You owe me 2,000 Rand. I know where you live. Don't make me come and get it from you. Or get someone much more horrible than me to come and get it from you. Why are you not standing?
Yeah, I think
you're not the one who's not dealing with it, Sia. You're not the one who's weak here.
Who's in the wrong.
They know they're wrong. And they know they can't deal with that, so they're just avoiding it completely. It's just childlike, you know?
No, I think it's also a personality thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's childlike. Some people's natural predisposition is to avoid conflict. So I know I'm like that. I can easily push things underneath the carpet, and I don't care if it's the size of Table Mountain. I will still be so oblivious. Oh, look, what a beautiful carpet. Let's sit and be merry, because you're just avoiding making a big deal and mess of something.
Yeah, but some things need to be made a big deal of.
I know.
And some people, they only get away with it because the rest of us don't say no. You know, whether it's like government corruption or whether it's someone who owes you 2,000 Rand, it's the same thing. They're getting away with it because you're letting them. And
yeah, I think it's a combination of almost having the disease to please all the time. So you're always appeasing other people and not setting your own boundaries.
I would threaten this person also with online reputation damage. I'd say, you know what? Do you know who I am? I'm Sia Sangweni. I have a shitload of contacts, and I guarantee I got more followers than you do. And I'm about to tell everybody what a sleazy son of a bitch you are to not pay people their money back. You watch that person pay you back double time.
I think a good strategy would be approach them with a payment plan. Obviously, there's a reason why they're not paying you back.
I'm not there.
You need to understand there.
I don't care.
CS says, if you owe money, sell a kidney.
Yeah, I don't care.
Give a shit. But you know what, Flax? You brought up relationships a moment ago. I spoke to a friend of mine who lives in the Northwest Province, and he was saying he knows a lawyer, a divorce lawyer. Mm. Now, would you say that during lockdown, divorces have gone up or down?
Oh, I'd say they've completely doubled.
So this is purely anecdotal because this is one divorce lawyer in like the Northwest Province. So it's by no means scientific, okay? He's had zero business during lockdown.
Really?
In other words, no divorces. Now, that I'm amazed by that. I would have said the same as you.
That is true. Do you not maybe think that people aren't doing the process now, but they've broken up?
No, I think what's happened is divorce is very expensive.
Mm-hmm. How much?
Oh, dude, if you were married now, let's say you were married at the beginning of lockdown and now you decided you want a divorce and you're married in community of property, half of everything you have goes to that person if you divorce. Half. No matter who made the money.
How do you avoid being married in community of property?
Well, you have to sign an antenuptial contract, which means you're married out of community of property, but there are still certain things, like there's the accrual system and a whole lot of other stuff. You need to speak to a divorce lawyer before you get married. Because if you don't, it's like going into a business relationship with someone you don't even know. And you're just planning, in case this goes wrong. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, these contracts are, it's not romantic, and it means you don't love each other, and it's not about that at all. If it goes wrong, here's what's going to happen. Then we both go into it with no misconceptions.
Or I don't know.
Divorce is really expensive.
Maybe they're also very sober separations. I heard this from Bill Maher, who was talking about his friend who was going through a divorce. And his friend was so angry, saying, I'm not just losing half, I'm actually losing 2/3. Bill asked his friend to explain and said, my wife will take a third as she leaves, and then the lawyers will take a third. So I'm stuck with a third of everything that I have. So perhaps people are, you know, when life is open and busy and everything is happening, it's very quick to say, okay, well, we're done, let's move on.
Well,
right now, when you're stuck with someone, maybe you're really having conversations about what's not working and how can we change things.
I think that's a very valid point, because people have got to find other ways of separating out amicably. If you can do it without having to spend hundreds of thousands of rands, if you've got hundreds of thousands of rands in your estate, on a lawyer, maybe people are just being adult about it. Like, you know what? I think we need to be separate. Let's divide up the stuff. We don't need to get divorced. We'll just separate.
Goodness, I need to send this podcast to my sister, man, because I feel, look, this is the second time she's brought it up in the past couple of months. But yesterday she specifically said, I feel like I have a friend and not a boyfriend. I'm like, whoa, what are you talking about? No, she's in a long-distance relationship, and she says, well, think about it. What matters most in a relationship for most people? It's the fact that you're together and you're sharing things, and there's that human contact as well. And right now, she just feels like her boyfriend is just like any other friend. It made me think about, damn, how are people sustaining it in long-distance relationships?
Well, yeah, look, everybody has their own set of circumstances, right? And none of the three of us, Flax or Sia or me, none of us are marriage counselors. We don't know. None of us have even ever been married. But we
look at us in great successful relationships.
Well, exactly. But we do know, everybody knows, divorce is the last option available, right? When you've run out of all other options, then you go to divorce. And it's interesting that this one lawyer, who a friend of mine knows, said he's had zero divorce business through the course of lockdown, because it may mean that human behavior is changing in respect of keeping it together. Maybe some people are resolving their differences. Maybe they're separating more amicably. Maybe they're deciding it's too expensive, we don't need to engage lawyers, whatever the reason is. Or maybe, just maybe, there's a chance that this lockdown has forced people to be around each other more, to not have an escape, and to sort out their problems. Maybe it's the best thing for marriage. There is that possibility. and again, this is anecdotal evidence. There's no proof that any of this is true for everybody. But maybe, and I'd love to hear some examples of this, if you've got any, if you've got them in your own life. Mm-hmm. I mean, this would be a fascinating survey. And I reckon there are going to be people doing PhDs and various master's theses on human behavior during lockdown. It's going to be really interesting. Roland says there should be a marriage and divorce app. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hey, you like on premium cover, just off?
Yeah, definitely, dude. Imagine buying doing your antenuptial contract through there. That would be amazing.
This antenuptial contract cannot be an easy conversation.
No.
Because the way I'm seeing it is you're starting this relationship with literally one foot out the door already.
Yeah. Well, that's what it sounds like, but it's essential. It's like every contract in law that you sign, right? There's always a if things go wrong part of the contract in business.
Why do you have to be married under a magistrate's court or something like that? Why can't you just be married? Why does it have to be a legal agreement?
So the government recognizes it.
For tax reasons or...
Well, I mean, there are a bunch of things. Like, for example, if you were in hospital and you were really, really ill, there are only a few people who will be allowed in to see you. And one of those people is your wife. So if you're not actually someone's wife, you're not getting in to see the person in the hospital. Second of all, the marriage is recognized, so there are legal protections for you. Your kids, for example, get to have the surname of either parent because you can choose now. And there are all kinds of other things that kick into play when you're married. Responsibilities towards each other, legal connection. Those things are, unfortunately, usually involve government. But you could just do what a lot of people do these days and be together without actually having to have the legal ramifications kick into action. Mm. In other words, you just do a contract where, you know, I am this person's legal partner. We've decided to be together. And you just hope that you don't end up in a situation where the law does get in the way between you two.
What do people do?
There are tax benefits, by the way, and there are also tax issues.
What are people doing with regards to their bank accounts? Do you keep separate bank accounts, or do you have one joint and then two separate, or just one joint?
You think that contract is a hard discussion.
Yeah.
You ask any couple about that thing you've just asked me. Some couples have separate accounts. They have one account between the two of them that they both operate. Yeah, it's a whole thing, dude. It's a whole thing. Listen, it's 7 o'clock. We've got to move.
Okay.
Got lots to do in the next hour, and as you can tell, there's lots to talk about. So it's Friday. You can let us know what's up in your world this morning. I'm going to go to the messages. All you have to do is give us a shout on 0797482090 and tell us what's happening. We want to hear from you. CliffCentral.com.